Hello and welcome to episode 19 of the Tech Surge podcast. I'm your host, Guillermo Ortiz, and we've got quite a news-filled episode today, sandwiched in with a bit of a review regarding a VPN that I've tested. But before we begin, I'm going to just, you know, shout out to my email. It's guillermoat8@qq.com if you want to send me any feedback. We're currently building a website for the podcast. It's going to be called www.techsurge.com with a hyphen in between tech and surge. So that's coming along really well. And you can reach me on MeWe at Guillermo Ortiz. I'm on Google Plus. Not for long, but still am there. Don't have a Twitter that I use actively, so don't bother reaching me there. With that out the way, let's get started with today's episode. I just want to start with a little bit of a review on a VPN which I've currently, which I've been using for the past week or so. I thought it sort of fitted in because I do live in China. I do rely on VPNs to sort of do all of this. In fact, when I upload the podcast, I need to use a VPN to upload it. Sometimes it doesn't work, and I've had to sort of re-upload this podcast multiple times in order for it to actually work, because sometimes it will say it's finished and you go on there, it hasn't been published. So it's quite shady doing this. Anchor has been great for hosting, but that's not the problem. The problem is actually the whole, the whole VPN usage and, all the unreliabilities, and the internet's not great here either. So it's a bit of a struggle, but anyway, I was using NordVPN up until a week ago. I think I bought it last March, and the license expired. Now, I plan to renew it, but, I just thought I would try something different. Try its biggest rival, actually, and I'll explain why I switched over to ExpressVPN, which is what I'm using right now. First of all, NordVPN was pretty darn slow on a computer. It would not connect. I had plenty of issues with going into countries, sometimes it would go to Germany and it would take forever to connect, and once it connected, it wouldn't really function. Then I'd go to Hong Kong, which supposedly is closer, and it'd be very slow. It's just very unreliable sort of servers, my experience on the computer, and it would never connect. And so I'm using my secondary VPN most of the time, which is called Lantern Pro. I'm sure you guys heard of it. If you know a little bit about VPNs, you'll heard of Lantern Pro. I got it originally when it wasn't blocked. Now it's blocked here in China. Of course, the government can block stuff. It has control over the internet, essentially. So it's blocked a lot of VPNs. And in fact, ExpressVPN itself was quite compromised for a while. And once in a while, it will start doing some weird things. And that's how you know that the government is tinkering with it or trying to get rid of it. But Nord, Nord was having major issues connecting on my PC. It was pretty good on my phone for the most part. Again, it wouldn't connect sometimes, but I feel like I've had that same problem with Express. However, one thing I didn't like about Nord on the phone was that on the day that my subscription was to be sort of finished, it wouldn't let me access the VPN app on the phone. It was a few hours before my subscription was due to finish, so I was still technically subscribed to Nord, but it wouldn't let me access the phone app, and so I couldn't really download another VPN there. I was stuck without a VPN for a while, and I had to really dig deep into the Chinese internet using Baidu and some shady third-party app stores to get another VPN across, which is not ideal. I mean, the third-party app stores, there's quite a few. If you do live in China and you do need a third-party app store that's not too shady, I'd suggest Tutu App. It's got quite a lot of services quite a lot of apps that would cost money, and for the most part, it's pretty good. Of course, you're always facing some problems or the risks of viruses, but I downloaded a SnapVPN and I managed to get Express eventually on my phone through SnapVPN and then going on to the Google Play Store like that. But in terms of ExpressVPN in itself, I downloaded it on my computer and on my phone and I paid for it. And I must say, it's the most I've paid for any VPN service. I believe it's the most expensive VPN service you can get. So it's like $6 a month, you break it down, or $100 a year, essentially. I know the math doesn't make sense, but I think there was a deal there, where you could, it cost a little bit less if you paid for more years. So I paid for a 2-year subscription with that sort of discount that I got. And it's pretty expensive. I believe NordVPN was $3 a month, like half, and maybe $50 a year, something like that. I'm probably wrong on the prices. Hope I'm not. But that's what I recall. And well, Nord, on face value, I mean, you can connect more devices simultaneously, more than ExpressVPN can. But the reason I chose ExpressVPN over Nord eventually was for a few things. The first of which is speeds. Now, when I turn on Express, it's just a lot faster than Nord, in terms of, yeah, I've done speed tests with both of them, and it sort of outperforms it with the same servers, which is nice. And another good thing about Express is that since it's the most used expat VPN or VPN within expats, it's kind of, it's got its own sort of servers that it sets up specifically for that country. So it gives you suggestions at the bottom. So here I've got try Hong Kong 4, Hong Kong 5, Tokyo 1, UK Wembley. So there are specific servers that work, especially well with the country that you're in. So I usually don't have a problem. I press the smart location and it chooses the best server for me, which is nice. And the speeds, again, like I said, they're very nice. They're very fast, very fluid most of the time. The only time where it has a slight problem is when you're switching Wi-Fi networks, the reconnecting takes a while. That leads me on to connection speeds. So actually just connecting to the VPN in the first place, which is, I think, one of the downsides of Express, is that it takes quite a while to actually connect to the server that you want to connect to. There's like a line that circles the on button, and it keeps gradually getting bigger. That's on the phone app. It goes, it goes 3/4 of the way, then stops and starts again, and eventually goes the whole circle. But I'd say it takes about 20 seconds to connect. But once you're connected, it's very fast. You're not gonna disconnect. I haven't experienced any disconnects, which I did with quite a lot of cheap VPNs, free VPNs. Experienced quite a lot of disconnects once it was, but with Express, very tight on the phone app. And in terms of the computer, it's actually faster to connect on the computer than the phone. And I feel like it's more reliable on the computer than the phone. Even though, again, there's no drops. I haven't experienced any drops on the phone. It just takes longer to connect. But what I mean by more reliable is that essentially the server that you're on, so say you're connected to Japan on your phone, it takes 20 seconds to connect to Japan on your computer, will take around 5. So just faster connection speeds on, initial connection speeds on when you get on the computer, which is nice. Another thing which I, which made me go for ExpressVPN is essentially the features of the actual program or the actual SpeedVPN app. There's a lot of stuff you can choose from the computer. You can choose protocols. So you've got OpenVPN, UDP, OpenVPN, TCP. You've got IPsec and PPTP. So it ranges from extremely secure to not very secure, but very fast. So it's your choice. I just leave it on automatic. I don't really know much about protocols per se. I've used quite a lot of OpenVPN protocols. I know Nord is an OpenVPN protocol because on the phone, it showed up as an OpenVPN protocol, and that seems to be pretty good, but it is on automatic for myself. It does have a kill switch, which is quite good, especially here in China. If you're going on some sort of pages that the government doesn't want you to go on or anything like that, you can sort of press that. You can activate the kill switch, and if the VPN disconnects for whatever reason, it'll just stop your internet browsing, which is nice. So I use that quite a bit. I don't know. I think Nord had one, but I found this one to be more effective than the Nord one. I did a few tests on it where I disconnect. Well, I think I put the internet bad or something. I messed around with the internet, and it just works a lot faster. It automatically cancels your session, and you're good to go again, reconnect. So that's nice. There's also a few other settings, which are cool. You can optimize Windows networking to maximize VPN speed, so it works with the Windows system to make the speed faster. And I have this on to make the VPN go fast, but you can turn it off if your internet is slow, which I've tried, and there's not much difference between the two settings. But I will say that, if you turn it on, it's a slightly bit faster. And of course, you've got your browser tab where you can choose where you want to install the extension. I don't really use the extension. I should probably, but I use Opera instead of Google Chrome or Mozilla Firefox, which I don't think you can change. You can only go on those two. There's no Opera extension for ExpressVPN just yet. So yeah, I mean, the only thing that I would say is, can discourage you from getting this has to be the cost, because it's definitely one of the best, if not the best, VPN server or VPN service around, I think, especially for China, or if you live in a country where the internet is censored. I think it can really help sort of get you through that firewall. So I just wanted to give a quick review of another thing. The VPN is very easy to use. You've literally got a big circle. You click it and you're immediately connected, or you're connecting at that point. So that's nice. And that is my quick ExpressVPN review. I'll leave a link. You want to, buy it. It's quite expensive. You got a 30-day money back guarantee. If you don't like it for whatever reason, it'll return your money back. But as a Chinese user, I think it's the best I've used. I've used quite a lot of other VPNs. I've used Nord, IPVanish. I've used Golden Frogs, Viper VPN, and I think Viper VPN is kind of blocked at this point. NordVPN is still good and it is cheaper, but I think you're compromising quite a lot of reliability, at least in my case, on the PC, which is why I made that switch from blue to red. But yeah, let's move on. Apart from that ExpressVPN sort of update, I am going to tell you guys that I think today we are getting our Mi 9 in from the Xiaomi store, so I will do a quick review of it. I'll look at all the aspects, I'll do a quick hands-on, maybe, and I'll film it. Yeah, it's gonna be the first video. I'm making a YouTube channel for the podcast called Tech Surge, obviously. That's where I'll post little tidbits with devices that I get and just, small things that I have lying around the house. I mean, obviously, don't have the money to buy new phones all the time, but for example, this Mi 9 that's coming in, I believe it's tomorrow. I will take a look at that. I won't do a hands-on. I believe it's the 256, 8 gigabytes of RAM version. Which is, I think it's one of the biggest versions. It's not the Battle Angel, it's just the upgraded version, and it runs like a charm. This isn't for me, by the way. I know I've mentioned flagship phones for myself, but this one isn't for me. This one's actually for my brother. He's getting this, but of course, he'll let me borrow it to really do a in-depth review on it. So I think I've talked about the Mi 9. It's just pretty much the best value flagship for the money right now, and it actually took us quite a while to actually, there was a line to just pre-order it. So we pre-ordered it last week at the actual store. There weren't any in stock, which shows you just how popular that phone is. And another phone which I want to mention is the Mi 9 SE, which is the younger brother of the Mi 9. And he was about to go for that one, but he just had that little bit extra money, so he went for the big brother of the Mi 9. But if anyone needs a cheap phone, I mean, that phone is 2,500 yuan, which is just get it up here, but it's great value in terms of what you're getting for the price. It's $370, and that can't be. Yeah, I think 370 bucks. You know, it's about the price of a Moto G, maybe a little bit more. But I think you're getting more for your money than that when you're getting with a Moto G. You're getting a Snapdragon 712, which is 10 nanometer process, very efficient, and it's essentially a stripped out 855, just as efficient, and the performance is definitely better than the 660, and definitely better than what's on the goddamn Moto G7, which is the 632. That's the plus, yeah. Better than the 630 and the 632, definitely. In terms of performance, design, I think, is cooler. It's just sort of a very compact phone, so if you like one-handed use, that's definitely a phone to go for. It's got the in-display fingerprint scanner, the optical one, one of the better ones that there are. I mean, the Mi 9's fingerprint, in-display fingerprint scanners, Mi 9 SE's fingerprint scanner, in-display, they're pretty much some of the best ones there is. They contrast greatly to the Nokia 9 PureView, one of the worst ones there is, but yeah, also it has a 48 megapixel primary lens. That's the Sony IMX 586 sensor. And you know, it's just, I just wanted to mention this because if you want just a great value phone, I mean, this phone is fantastic value. At least here in China, it's 2,500 yuan, or 2,000 yuan, even less. Yeah, 2K. It's 2K. So here on JD.com, which is even less. I'm gonna do the conversion again, but for what you're getting, I don't think there's a better phone. Sorry, for what you're paying, I don't think there's a better phone. It's $300. Yeah, I just recommend that to anyone who wants you know, anyone who wants an Android phone that's, you know, good and fairly cheap. It has an AMOLED display, 1080p AMOLED display, which looks gorgeous. They haven't sacrificed on the display. They haven't sacrificed on the materials because it's glass and metal. They haven't sacrificed on optics. Well, they have somewhat sacrificed on optics. You got less resolution on the tele and the wide angle, but that's not really seen. I mean, it's 8 megapixels in comparison to 16, and I believe it was 13, no, 13 to 16 and 8 to 10. So 8 on the SE, 10 on the Mi 9, 13 on the SE, 16 on the Mi 9 respectively, but those differences aren't really noticed that much in day-to-day usage at all. So I definitely consider that phone. I'd even consider over the Mi 9 if you're short on, if short on cash, definitely a better alternative than the Mi 9. It's a great phone, and you know, operating system wise, it runs MIUI 10, soon to be MIUI 10.1, which if you come from an iPhone is going to be very familiar to you because it's essentially the same thing. You've got no app drawer. I mean, I have it on my Mi A1. I put a custom ROM on my Mi A1. Now it runs MIUI 10, pretty smooth. There's a few little glitches here and there, but that's because it's the developer's sort of MIUI version. It's the Xiaomi.eu variant, which is a special variant. Yeah, I would go for that Mi 9 SE, to be honest. It's a good choice. And talking about Xiaomi phones, the Mi A3 and the Mi A3 Lite, they weren't really leaked. It's just one small detail that's been leaked, and this is, you know, an example of tech that would have cost a lot more passing its way down to tech that costs a lot less. Because the in-display fingerprint scanner is rumored to be in the Mi A3 and Mi A3 Lite smartphones. So if you guys know the Mi line, the Mi A line, I've got the Mi A1, the original. The Mi A2 came out in 2018, the summer, and the Mi A3 is set to come out this summer as well. Yeah, I mean, they've always been really good value phones. I think the Mi A1 was the best value phone of 2017. Still hanging on to it, still going fine with that 625, which is a soldier. The Mi A2 was, I think, slightly less value. There were quite a lot of other offerings you could go for. It wasn't horrible. I think it was less value. Still good. Still good. Don't get me wrong, we're still good. And now the Mi A3 has come out, or is has been leaked on the Android One program. And you know, it's gonna be having that in-display fingerprint scanner. I mean, a user on XDA developers, There's actually going to be three devices, Bamboo Sprout and Cosmo Sprout as the Android One phones, and there's a Chinese variant, of course, which will be the Mi 7X in that regard, because, you know, the Mi 5X is the Mi A1, the Mi 6X was the Mi A2, the Mi 7X will be the Mi A3. And essentially, it's going to have optical fingerprint scanners, in-display fingerprint scanners, and the phones will have the 675 or the 710. That would be for the Mi A3. I believe the Mi A3 Lite will probably come with a 636. I mean, that's what I'm guessing, or even maybe something like a 650 at that point. And they're all going to have 32 megapixel selfie cameras with pixel binning. But that's about it. But anyway, I am excited for this line. This line is always really popular every year. And, you know, they've got fantastic phones ever since 2017 when that Xiaomi Mi A1 came out. And I bought it. I've been loving it. So I can't wait for this Mi A3. Of course, in terms of my phone sort of journey, I am going to be upgrading to a flagship phone in the summer, and that'll probably be the Galaxy S10. I've been eyeing that up for a while since it came out, and I was gonna originally go for the Mi 9 Pro, but I decided to go for the S10 instead of that. Just like the feature set is a lot more rounded than the Mi 9, in my opinion. It's even though it's more expensive, it's like 2,000-3,000 more expensive. I want the headphone jack. I need waterproofing for what I'm going to do with it. In the summer, I'm going to go ahead and do some underwater video, which probably isn't possible with the Mi 9. Got all planned out. And I need that telephoto camera, which I think is, you know, I think there's on the Mi 9, but the S10 just has better camera software, in my opinion. I think the Pro mode is better than the Mi 9. The feature set that it brings for the camera in terms of, you know, the camera app, slightly better. I mean, the Mi 9's cameras are fantastic, and they're up there with the S10's for sure. But, you know, the construction as well, I like the design better on the S10. You know, and, you know, the in-display fingerprint scanner is ultrasonic, which can really avoid the optical issue of having, you know, that light to shine up and perhaps cause some burn-in in the long run. So yeah, that's why I'm going for that S10 over the Mi 9. The final story is just a quick talk about Project Asda. This is what Google announced, I think 2 days ago, 3 days ago, about gaming through the cloud and having, you know, being able to stream any game from the cloud onto your however shite your computer is. You'll still be able to stream and play the games with a controller. And that, you know, sort of signals the end for consoles somewhat. I feel like it's really threatened Xbox and PlayStation, because why would you want to buy a console if you can just pay a little bit a month for a collection of games, of the latest games, hopefully, and you'll be able to play with them on your computer, and, you know, without the need of that much power, because the power is coming from the servers and that device, which is the Asda, somewhere, you know, California or whatever the hell Asda is. You know, it would eliminate the need for consoles at that point. They are selling a controller as well. You can use any controller you want. You know, you can, it's multiplayer. There's multiplayer. There are seamless transitions from different PCs to your phone. I believe you can play on your phone as well. It streams through as well. So it's just very exciting. When I saw the event, I was very excited. And this might, you know, I'm going to college soon, so this might eliminate the need for me to bring a gaming PC along with me, or a PC that has a decent amount of power, because I won't need to if I can just, you know, get on Asda and play any game I want. So yeah, very excited about Asda. Of course, it's still in the early stages. A lot of kinks sign out, I guess. Whenever it does come out, I'll be one of the first in line to try it. And we're going to leave it right there. Something has sort of unexpectedly shown up that I have to attend to. But I hope you enjoyed episode 19 of the Tech Search Podcast. We're really leaning on nearing on 20 episodes. So that's a big milestone to reach. And you know, it's been tough pushing these out with the scheduling and life of a student, all that stuff, studying and whatnot, taking SATs soon, all that stuff. So hope you enjoyed, and I'll catch you next time on episode 20 of the Cambridge Podcast.